It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Malfunction Junction, crossroads between art and addiction. I'm your host, Andrew Edwards, and together we will explore how these two worlds intertwine. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Malfunction Junction. This is Andrew. I am joined here today with Quinn Warren. He is a musician, artist based here in Denver, Colorado. Quinn, go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit.
Yeah, what's up? My name is Quinn. Like Andrew said, I'm here in Denver. I make music, I make art, and mostly a drummer. That's kind of like where my musical ventures started. Mm-hmm. And but I like to draw, I like to paint and stuff as well. Started at a young age with kind of both of them, and still doing the thing.
Good.
Yeah.
How old were you when you started drumming?
I was probably like around nine years old. Yeah.
Okay. And are you originally from here?
Yeah, I grew up in the Denver metro area. I grew up in Inglewood and Littleton area.
Oh, nice. So yeah. Right around where we are based today.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just practically down the street from where we're at right now. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. That's it always feels weird to like find that out about people because I'm like not native to here.
Yeah.
My family is. My whole family is native to Colorado. I'm the fucking, my sister and I are the only two in the whole family to not be from Colorado, like, entirely. And so, right. Since, like, the 1800s.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, fuck, like, like, all right. But, yeah, so it's that's cool.
It's in your blood.
Sure.
Still.
Sure, yeah. And, like, my grandparents actually, when they lived, they're from Montrose, and they live down there now, but they when they lived up in Denver, they lived in Inglewood.
Oh, okay.
And, like, it was, they had, like, a little house actually by over where I used to live.
Okay.
And over the big one on the hill.
Yeah.
Fuck that place. But
Yeah. Otherwise known, or formerly known as Flood Middle School.
Mm-hmm. You know who told me that was homie Steve?
Steve.
That used to work over at TK.
Oh, yeah. I know Steve. Yeah.
Dude, Steve's the man. If you're listening, shout out, brother.
Hit what up, Steve?
Dude. Hit me up. You're the man. Hope you're doing well. But yeah, no, he told me about that. And I had a theory about that place that there's some sort of weird energy there.
Yeah.
My apartment was in the bottom, like the basement area. Like if you're driving on Broadway and you pass that building,
right.
It's like they have like the grassy, or they used to have grass, but now it's like stone because they're fucking assholes and got rid of the grass. Assholes.
Yeah.
Fucking replaced it with rock, like big rocks. So right, now if my dog wants to run around, she can't. She'll break her fucking legs. It's just fuck you guys, man. But anyway, so that's the apartment complex. That's the apartments mine were. The ones in the bottom.
Yeah.
The basement area. And so there's this like area back there in the garage that is walled off, but it keeps going down.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It doesn't have any, like it just keeps going down. And it's dark as fuck back there. You can't tell what's going on because they just, like, walled it off completely. And it's got a big old fucking padlock on it. Like, we were, like, thinking, like, oh, we can fucking, you know, see if we can twist this thing off or something.
Yeah.
Nope, big old fucking padlock on it.
Damn.
And it's just like, dude, what the hell are they hiding? And
then
there's also, someone told me there's some rumors about like there being like an underground parking thing that potentially, the other rumor I've heard was that it has connection to the underground tunnels that head to DIA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It is right under Broadway, basically. And then you got 285 right there.
Yeah, it seems like that would be a place where that's where the tunnels are. And dude, that place always had weird shit happening. There was always crazy weird shit happening. And then I felt like, dude, there's just some portal under here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Maybe, man. Well, it was a weird middle school. I mean, I only stepped foot in it like a couple times. My sister went to middle school there. I went to a different middle school because we moved to Littleton later on. But yeah, man. I mean,
did she ever say anything about it being haunted or anything? Or like,
I think she like mentioned some stuff. I'd have to ask her again about it. Yeah. It was like years ago now. But it seems like everyone that I've known that has lived there has had some like weird shit go on there, you know what I mean? At least in their personal lives, or just like the management of that building just seems like it kind of sucks
too. It was the worst management I've ever dealt with anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the last 2 years living there. Or sorry, I lived there for 3 years. The first 2 years living there, fine. It was actually decent. I enjoyed it.
Right.
I signed on to live again. But then the third year came around, and about 2-3 months into the third year, the management company switched, and it was just fucking awful, man. They just sucked, man. And it was like around the same time, like all the people I liked left, and like all the people that made the place like, you know, oh, my neighbor, hey, what's up, dude? It was like all those people left.
Right.
And I was stuck for another couple months. And then I accidentally signed for Dude, the fucking manager like convinced me like, okay, it's going to be better. Like we're going to get it. And he convinced me to sign again. And then it just didn't get better over the next couple months. And I was just like, dude, you have to let me the fuck out of this thing. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
And he did. Thank God. Thank God. The guy let me out.
Nice.
But like, it was like, I was like, the only reason is because I like, you know, threatened legal action basically. I was just like, dude, you guys fucked me.
Yeah.
You guys absolutely fucked me and fucked everybody in this whole building. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Some big BlackRock company, dude.
Right. Yeah, apartment complexes are just notorious for that. Just always trying to fuck people over somehow. Trying to get a little bit of money somehow. A little extra, at least, you know.
A little extra. Fucking $50 here, $75 here. And it's like, dude, that doesn't make a difference to them.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does to the individual that it comes from. It's like $50. Like most people that live in anywhere nowadays, especially if you're living in apartments, you're living paycheck to paycheck most likely.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know? Like at least at some level, you may be able to save some money.
Yeah.
But like you're probably living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And that sucks. And then so what that means then is this is like, that's, you know, people are on a budget. And then it's just like, yeah, okay, you have, you know how you save $250 every month or whatever it is? And it's like, yeah, now you get to save $200 because you're going to pay me another $50 a month for parking.
Right, yeah.
Or you can park your car outside on the street in the really ghetto neighborhood that we live in.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, well, fuck, I'm going to just pay you $50 a month and just fucking, I guess, figure that out later. It's just like.
Yeah.
But right on, this is an interesting area.
So yeah, definitely.
It's interesting to be here from here, but yeah.
Yeah, Inglewood's cool. A special place. It's kind of funny. I mean, it's beautiful in a lot of ways. It's kind of ghetto, in some ways. You know, I feel like it's gotten better over the years since I was a kid. You know what I mean? It still has a little remnants of that.
Certainly.
But there's also like a lot of like, kind of like vibrant kind of neighborhoods. Some kind of like. You know, and then in Broadway, it's just, you got all kinds of cool stuff, a lot of cool restaurants.
Yeah.
You got the Gothic Theater. I grew up, like, behind the Gothic Theater, basically.
Oh, nice.
And, man, I just always loved going to shows there. It is still one of my favorite venues in the Denver
area. Yeah,
that's
a cool venue. Yeah. They always have cool shows going on there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool, man. That's, it kind of, sorry, I'm burping from the fucking kratom.
You're good. You're good.
Yeah. I feel Inglewood feels a little bit like, I mean, I've always heard like people say like, yeah, this place used to be kind of fucking hood, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, but then I guess it got gentrified at some point. And
yeah,
in all reality, the way I think about this place is it's kind of a little bit of a gem nowadays. It feels like a gem in Denver because the rest of Denver feels fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
And like at least most of the, like there are little pockets of the place that are like, okay, this part's nice, but it's like, then it also, there are other sides of it where it's just like, dude, what the fuck is going on in this city?
Yeah.
Like going up to Westminster. Bro, right. Westminster sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, what is going on in that town?
Yeah.
If you live in Westminster, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, well, Westminster is one of those weird places where it's like, there's some really nice parts of Westminster. And then there's like some really downtrodden. There's some
really downtrodden parts of Westminster.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was living in the really downtrodden part of it. It's fucking bad, dude.
Yeah.
Bad. I hated that. That was like one of the worst years of my life. I think I lived there like 10 months or something.
Yeah, I lived in Federal Heights for a little while. And like we had a lot of really cool neighbors. I'll give it that. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, there was like, there was gunshots going out like on every night, basically, you know? Like,
yeah. See, that was going on in that area when I was living there, but the most I experienced with that was living in Austin.
Oh, okay.
Living in Austin was like, it was seemingly every night there were gunshots.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, and it didn't even seem like it was like because there would be no like then like, oh, you know, whatever, like someone getting shot. It was just probably someone going, you know, shooting in the air.
Yeah,
which
is
just like, what? Like that's crazier. That's even crazier.
Right, right.
Like to just blast fucking firearms into the air. Like that's nuttier than just actually using it to defend yourself, I think.
Right. That seems like a very Texan thing to do. I'm just gonna shoot my arm off in the air, you know.
Yeah. Those guys don't think very far ahead.
There was one time when I was a kid we went to I went to Texas with the family. It was I forget where it was, like, I want to say it was like somewhere near Houston or something like that. My dad had this friend that he used to be a good friend of his. His name was Joe. And we went to go visit him. And Joe's just like driving us around. He's got like a beer in his hand. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, we went up to like a drive-through liquor store, which we used to have some of those in Denver, but it seemed like they were like everywhere, you know? And then he just buys a beer right there, starts drinking it.
Yeah.
And me and my brother were...
I think the only place those exist nowadays, I think they got rid of those still. I don't know if they still exist in Houston. If they were going to exist at all in Texas, I think they'd probably exist in Houston. But I'm pretty sure it's Louisiana. It's the only one that still has those.
Yeah, yeah.
Not positive of that. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like, it's like, I think that's Louisiana is the only one. The last bastion on that one.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were in Joe's backyard, like we were shooting BB guns. We were trying to shoot these cans, you know, me and my brother. And we couldn't hit this one can. And then this guy, Joe, just comes out with a 12-gauge shotgun and he just like blows him off the fucking fence, you know, like. Right into his fucking neighbor's yard, dude. You know what I mean? It's not like a big yard or anything, you know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jeez, dude.
He's like, all right, everyone inside, you know?
That's insane, dude.
I'm like, this is what Texas is like, all right.
Texas is wild, dude. Texas is a wild place. I lived in Austin, so Diet Texas is what I like
to
call
it.
Is what people called it to me. This is Diet Texas. And that's true.
Yeah.
It is Diet Texas.
I could see that.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And the music scene's pretty cool there. But
Yeah. That's what I hear.
Yeah, it's worth going out there sometime to check it out. I'd want to go with somebody else that was like also not drinking if I was going to go back to Austin, because I fucking, all my friends there are like huge. Dude, it'd be a blast. We'd just be sober.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, because like we'd be with people that are fucked up, but also like great partiers. So they're just like, we'd be hanging out with everybody.
Yeah.
But it'd just be like, you'd have to be like with someone and be like, yeah, we're not drinking or whatever. Yeah, because that'd be the risk, is that like that takes the risk of like it being so fun. You're like, ah, oh, fuck it, I'll have a drink. It's just like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a girlfriend a while ago when I was drinking. Her name was Brittany, but she was from Lampasas, Texas, which is like 45 minutes.
That's between Dallas and that's actually between Waco and Austin, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. It's like north, 45 minutes or so of Austin.
But yeah, I remember that area.
We went a couple times to visit her family, and we would go into Austin a little bit. And we went to South by Southwest one time, and it was chill. That was like my first like taste of Austin, really. You know, yeah. It was like I parked. I went. Do you know who Charles Bradley is?
The name sounds really familiar.
He's like a really good like soul kind of singer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He passed away.
Yeah, that's right. R.I.P. Charles Bradley.
Yeah, but he like got big in like his fucking like 60s or something.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But he was playing at like 10 a.m. or something. So I got up like hella early to go.
Nice.
Go see him play. It's like,
that's cool.
Parked my car. People were like, what's up, man? I was just like, you know, I felt like really welcome there, yeah. Which was chill.
It's kind of like that. Yeah. Especially at that time. That time, like South by and ACL, it's like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was chill, you know? And, obviously I was drinking, so it was like, you know. But it was a good time. I talked to Carl from Workaholics. I met him.
Nice.
At a bar.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah. You'll always meet someone.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll always meet someone in Austin. There's always some fucking...
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's kind of a... It's... I don't know. It's kind of... I mean, who knows what it's like now, but back when I was living there, before it like really blew up from the Rogan, for the Joe Rogan thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, with like famous people living there.
Yeah, yeah.
But
Mothership,
yeah. I never went to Mothership. I did get to go see a show at Vulcan Gas Company when they were doing that before the Mothership opened up.
Oh, okay.
That was pretty sick.
Nice.
But I would like to go back and see.
Yeah, yeah.
See a show there. I've heard it's like one of the best clubs. And it seems like it would be.
Yeah.
It's made for comedians.
Yeah.
It's like, that's who you want. Like, it's like, look, the crowd should be thought of, but not they should be the comedian. You want the comedian to want to do well.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And it seems more like loose than like a lot of comedy clubs have kind of gotten to be as of late, you know?
Well, I do still really like Comedy Works here in town.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been, you've probably been to a couple shows.
I've been to a couple shows there. It's been a while, but it'd be cool to check out something there for sure.
They're, from what I understand, they're one of the best clubs in the country in terms of like for the comedian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always been kind of like a staple in the comedy world is Comedy Works, you know?
Yeah. But, I forget what I was talking about. We got on a sidetrack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comedy.
Yeah.
But, it was, what? So if you had said you make music and you also you do some like actual drawing, painting type
yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't it's hard to like describe what that actually is, because people say like, oh, you make art, but it's like if you're a painter.
Right.
Or it's right. But it's like, I don't know. It feels weird to it's funny because there's so many different little categories of art. It's the encompassing term of it. So you're kind of a painter and also do some music. What influenced you early on, or who or what really influenced you early on?
Musically, like, well, I gotta say that my older brother like introduced me to like a lot of music when I was younger, because I didn't really like form like a taste in music yet when I was like in like elementary school. It wasn't until like middle school where I started to kind of like find what I really liked, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my brother was like a few years older than me, so he had already kind of like been going through that stage.
Right. Yeah.
And this is when like the whole like emo thing, like scene thing, like skater punk, whatever you want to call it,
absolutely
was like getting really big, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And like my brother was probably like the first like emo kid in like our vicinity. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so he introduced me to some stuff, and like I didn't really like everything, but one of the first bands that I loved was Newfound Glory. Have you heard
of them? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's funny that I had kind of a similar thing with a neighbor of mine that was like, I didn't have an older brother, so that was kind of the closest. He was like he was 2 years older than me. Shout out Tucker if he's listening.
Yeah, yeah.
But he introduced me to the same music, the kind of the pop punk emo type stuff.
Yeah, yeah, fucking, yeah.
Like, yeah, skater stuff and like.
Yeah.
He introduced me to that stuff. So, yeah, Newfound Glory was one of the ones we'd listen to. A Day to Remember, another great one. Love those guys. Those guys still make good music.
Definitely, man.
And a couple of their songs are like, or really the whole Homesick album is like a particular time in my life. I can like, you know, remember how I was feeling back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. Yeah, well, what else was he introducing you to?
I got, like, really in this other kind of, like, pop-punk stuff, emo-ish, like, Taking Back Sunday.
Okay, yeah.
Brand New, you know, shit like that, Rise Against, you know, all of that stuff from that era. And then I kind of, like, got more into, like, metal as I got older. I think that's, like, where I kind of like branched away from my brother's taste, you know, a little bit, where I liked the harder stuff, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
The older I got, you know, and it's like, and then you start hitting like 14 and stuff, and you're going through all these changes.
And, yeah. And it's like, you're like, shut up, mom, it's not a fair.
Yeah. And you start getting more aggressive, you know, like you're starting to get more like testosterone in your body and shit, you know. Yep. So
our poor mothers that have to deal with
us as
becoming men.
Yes, yeah. Put my mom through a lot, that's for sure.
Me too.
But yeah, then, you know, it was like, do you remember like Devil's Worst Prada at all?
Yep.
They were really cool. Like, and then it was Screamo was like really big. Hardcore got big.
Yeah.
But you know, shit like Job for a Cowboys, Blood.
Job for a Cowboy, I forgot them.
Yeah.
I forgot about them, dude. Those guys are cool.
Oh yeah.
That's a fucking sick name too, Job for a Cowboy.
That's the best name. That's like the best metal band name ever.
I'm trying to think of like the only other one I can think of that is another all-time band name, I Set My Friends on Fire.
Oh, yeah,
That's a fucking fantastic
That's
a fantastic band name.
It is, yeah.
I Set My Friends on Fire.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, all right, you guys are punk as fuck.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
You guys are super metal, all right. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, I don't know, just kind of, like, branched out from there, got, you know. Shit like Arsonist, gets all the girls. That's another great
band name. I Wrestled the Bear once.
Band
name. Yeah.
And that's when I like started to listen to more like weird metal, or like some people might call like math metal or progressive. And yeah, stuff like that. But I kind of like grew out of the metal scene after a while for a little bit.
Okay.
Because, you know, I was like a huge pothead, you know. I started smoking like when I was like 13, you know.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
When'd you stop?
When did I stop? I do smoke weed on occasion, but for the most part, I stopped smoking like 7 years ago.
Okay.
Like basically when I stopped drinking. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a solid amount of time. And also to be able to return to it every now and then.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird relationship, like, for me, and I think a lot of other addicts or alcoholics, it can, like, kind of, like, trigger old memories or whatever, you know what I mean? And, like, I just stayed clear from it for a while when I first stopped drinking.
Yeah, it's typically the best way to do things is to do that.
And yeah, yeah.
This most recent time I wasn't able to do it. But yeah, that's good. I'm glad that's good you were able to do that.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm like, I don't have anything against it. Like, some people in recovery are like super against it. And it's just like, to me, it's like, is it fucking your life up? You know?
And like, right.
That's when you got to make a call of like.
And that's, and also, yeah. is it making you, like, I realistically speaking, the way I think about addiction stuff is like, look, what works for someone else may not work for someone else. And what, you know, or, you know, if you want to put you in there too, but yeah, but,
it's
I hate when people are like, you know, that's why I don't like AA. It's like this, it's this or my road to the highway type thing.
For
and
sure.
It's like, yeah, I'm fucking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see it as hypocritical because Bill W is like documented that his spiritual experience that taught, that got him to write the whole thing down was fucking an LSD experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not supposed to fucking, I'm just supposed to be like, I'm just supposed to white knuckle this and fucking talk about my problems and hope it gets better. Like,
right.
And what ended up making it a spiritual experience for me was a psychedelic. It was ketamine that ended up doing that for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I don't know. That's my issue with AA.
Yeah. I feel you there. I've had like a lot of disagreements with people in AA and it's like, and some of it has like steered me away from like AA and like 12 step recovery. But then I'm also like, I deserve to be here just as much as anyone else.
You know? That's a good way to look at it. Cause that is true.
Yeah.
You know, you deserve to be there just as much as anyone else. But I guess I don't know. I have no real reason that I don't go to the rooms anymore. I haven't gone since this particular bout of not drinking. I have not gone to a single meeting.
Oh, really?
Coming up on 2.5 years, I have not gone to a single meeting.
Right on.
In 2.5 years. But I have gone to, like, previous times of quitting drinking, I have tried to do the rooms.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It just, I don't know, man. It just didn't work for me. Yeah, I needed to have, like, the actual spiritual experience of, like, the idea of, like, that, you know, I am worth it. I am worth, my life is worth having. You shouldn't be trying to kill yourself. You're going to die if you continue this.
Yeah.
And like, do you want to save yourself? And like, I did have the spiritual experience. It just wasn't from fucking white knuckling it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so.
That's fair, man. I mean, there's not one road to recovery.
That's, yeah, perfect.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's not one road to recovery.
And at the end of the day, we're not doing the shit that we used to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Which was fucking hell. So coming out of hell and fucking finding a new way to live your life is whatever that means. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's a net positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you can make the proper adjustments in your own life to,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, move forward from being miserable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of being miserable, what is a failure that taught you something in life or the most really in life?
Oof. A lot of failures, man. A lot of failures. When I was drinking, I think this might have been, this is one of the things that really was like the impetus of like, all right, I need to stop drinking was like, well, you know, I played drums and I was playing drums on this album, my buddy's album. You know, and he's paying me a good amount of money. It was like $50 an hour to record drums on his album, you know?
Yeah.
And there's one night I go to the bar, you know, I'm just like chilling there before we're meeting up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to have like one or two drinks before we go and do this. You know what I mean?
The dangerous part.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I actually did get like two drinks, but like this studio that I used to have with my buddy, that's where we were recording. There was literally like a fucking bar like attached to the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And then, I mean, I'm like, all right, well now maybe I'll get it like one or two more. You know what I mean?
Oh no, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sitting playing drums and I can't fucking play, dude.
Oh no.
And this is like what I fucking love doing most.
Yeah.
And I can't even fucking play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And just like, dude.
And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing, you know?
Yeah. Wait, was it a relapse that was, or was this like a random night?
Like it was just like drinking? A random night, okay, yeah. Like during
the
time that I was drinking. And, you know, my buddy, he was really chill about it. You know, luckily he was like a good friend of mine. I think if it was anyone else, they would have been like, get the fuck out of here. We're going to find someone else.
You know? Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? Let's go to my place. We'll chill. We'll get some sleep and we'll go at it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I wake up in the middle of the night, dude, and I'm fucking shaking like in his chair, you know, like going through withdrawal, withdrawal, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and the whole room is fucking shaking, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it was like this fucked up psychedelic experience.
I've been through that. Yeah, that shit's gnarly, dude.
Yeah, so basically, I think I was going through DTs, delirium tremens, and I saw, like, the female version of, like, death. She, like, came up through the ground, you know? And she was, like, screaming at me, but, like, her mouth wasn't open at all. It was like someone put two speakers inside of my head, and she's like screaming at me, like telling me like everything I ever did wrong in life. You know?
Wow.
Yeah. And that like, it just like put the fear of God in me, dude.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
I think I went home to my parents that morning at like, you know, 8 a.m. and shit. Like I went to their fridge. I grabbed my last beer. Chugged that down.
Yeah, got to at that point.
Yeah, and I just like came clean to my parents about like everything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, man.
And that was a big failure for sure, but it also was like a rebirth
for realistically me. Speaking, it may have been. I mean, it is in some vein a failure, but realistically speaking, is a success because you were able to then like go like, okay, like now how do I like turn the page on this?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I totally get the move of going and getting the last beer.
Yeah, yeah.
I did when I had my like ketamine experience that got me to, which what it was I was drinking, and I was doing some ketamine, and I got real deep into this K-hole and I like was analyzing. I felt like I was in a computer and I was analyzing every drug I was doing. And I was doing a lot of them at the time. And like I got to alcohol and it was like, what is this doing for you? And it was, right. I was like, went through, and it was basically like, it showed me all of the crazy that I was doing and all of the bullshit I was putting people through. And then it like, and then I had to go throw up. I like, remember I like had to go like, you know, fucking yak in the toilet. And I was like, oh shit, I do this every morning. I throw up every morning at the time that I was. And I realized, and it just what told me was just like, that's stomach cancer, dude. Like, right. You're going to die if you keep doing this. And then I went in and I just laid down in my bed and I like went back into the moment when I like got stabbed. And I was like fully there. I was like watching myself like get stabbed and like watching myself sit there bleed out on the ground basically.
Right.
And I was just kind of like with myself. And I remember like telling myself, I'm sorry. I love you. I wish I hadn't done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, it felt like a physical weight just like left me.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't have that like hate towards myself anymore. I don't have that like desire to kill myself. And like, I got over that shit right there. And I went out and I finished the alcohol that I had because I was like, I don't want to have it anymore, but I also don't want to pour it down the drain.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fucking drink it and just call it good.
Yeah.
And I told myself, look, if I start to go through that type of thing, because I had gone through that before in previous times quitting the DTs, but I told myself that if I start to do that, like go get a fucking drink, dude. No, it doesn't. That's not worth it.
Yeah.
That's like potentially deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Like don't put yourself, just go get a fucking drink. You can start over the next day. Like it's, you know, it's just like all that matters is what you do tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing. And that should be a big thing for anyone's recovery is that like, look, if in faced with a moment of weakness in relapse or something like that, all that really matters is what you do tomorrow.
Yeah.
You can fuck up today.
Yeah.
Don't fuck up all the time.
Yeah.
But like what you do tomorrow matters. Like if you're fucking up today and that's already gone and you've already fucking been drinking.
Yeah.
Then dude, just don't do it tomorrow. Don't do it the next day either, but wake up, start a new day. Be like, I fucked up. I shouldn't have done that. And fucking move from there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All that really matters is what you do tomorrow.
100%, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does matter what you do today, too. But, like,
yeah, if you're already
within, the saying goes within, if you've already fucked up today.
Yeah, yeah.
Then just don't do the same thing tomorrow.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. No, I see your point. Yeah.
Yeah. You are in a band currently. Name of that band is again.
Our band is called Subatomic Hero.
That's right. Subatomic Hero. Shout out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Self-described, what type of music do you guys make?
It's like indie rock, but it's like, it's hard to describe. We kind of throw like a lot of shit in there.
Sure.
It's kind of like math rock sometimes. It's kind of like progressive. It's kind of psychedelic.
Nice.
It's kind of punk. It's kind of, we have some like hard rock kind of taste to it, you know what I mean?
Cool.
Or like a new phrase I like to say is like high octane.
High octane
rock and roll.
I kind of like that.
Yeah
high octane rock and roll.
But we got a little bit of everything. Like we have some really fast songs with a lot of energy, and then we have like some really slow, sad songs sometimes, you know.
Nice. Sounds like rock and roll, dude. That's fucking,
yeah,
that's what it's all about,
dude. Yeah,
that's yeah, it's that's cool, man. Yeah, and you said you were working on an album too, right?
Yeah, we're currently working on an album. We don't really have much music out right now. We have a few singles. They're more like demos. They weren't really done well. We kind of like recorded them on our own. We mixed them on our own and released them and everything. And but yeah, I started writing this album like basically almost 8 years ago when I first stopped drinking.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, when I was in rehab, there was like this piano that they had in like one of the like rec rooms, and we couldn't have our phones at all. Yeah. And so,
yep, remember that. That was actually such a nice time about rehab.
Oh, like, dude, God, yeah,
was,
yeah.
I wish I could. That's like the one time I think about, like, okay, I could go back to rehab and just fucking, for that reason.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I actually had a great time in rehab, man. I mean,
where'd you go to rehab?
I went to a facility. It's called Cedar. It's like out in Aurora. It's like kind of attached to Anschutz Hospital.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's a piano there.
Yeah, they had a piano there, and so like every night I would go and play, man, and just fucking write and sing and just like play about like the shit I was going through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I think that was like genuinely like 50% of my recovery was being able to do that, you know what I mean? And just like it helped me heal in a lot of ways, man. And so I've been basically working on this for almost 8 years, this album.
What's it called?
Haven't
decided on name yet.
We haven't decided.
Okay, no worries. You don't have
to I won't put it out there yet.
Yeah, no worries.
I have a name that I like.
Yeah, sure.
But it's not like,
it's not decided yet. Yeah.
It's not decided yet. Yeah. But yeah, anyways, like we played, we were like a 6-piece band at one point.
Oh, wow.
Like pre-pandemic. And we were playing shows like all over Denver. And
oh, yeah.
We were about to go on tour. We were about to go play South by Southwest, actually.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And pandemic.
Then pandemic literally fucking hit, ruined it. And we tried.
Pandemic ruined my South by Southwest, too, actually.
Did it really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it did.
Yeah.
I was a valet I was a valet down there, and I was about to make like, you make like $4,000
in a week. It. I believe
doing
it.
That shit. Down
yeah, yeah.
It's just like, fucking, nope.
Nope. Yep. Yep.
Here's $200.
Fucking pandemic, dude.
God, took
right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, it's crazy how much music like can help with And especially if you play music, because like it's a whole different thing playing music.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it's I play a little bit. I play guitar.
Yeah,
and I can sing.
Yeah,
but I went to a rehab in Texas that was called Recovery Unplugged. Some of the guys that I know from there listen to this every now and then. So shout out if you're listening from RU.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a music and performance-based rehab. It was actually fucking cool idea. Because their idea was that, like, we'll get people into their passions. Like, we'll attract a bunch of people that are, like, artists. We'll get them into their passions. And then they'll have a place to... There was, like, an open mic once a week that you could sign up for and, like, you know, do a... perform or whatever. And you had to do it, I think, at least once or twice. And then you could do it every week, I think. But, like, it was... I started it. That's one of the places I like got. I had started doing comedy in San Francisco, like the first time I ever did it, but I really started doing it there
at place.
And then when I went back the next time, I was like, you know, I'm going to try to like explore the music side of my shit. And so I started playing some guitar.
Nice.
And, but yeah, it's like, it was cool. Cause it like got it, number one, there were a lot of really talented people that I met there that are, you know, still trying to make something of themselves. And the place that started, that they like turned their lives around, was that place. So
hell yeah.
Yeah. Or at the very least, maybe they didn't finish. It didn't finish there. A lot of the people there, it doesn't. And I think that, dude, I think the fucking, I don't know if this is still true, but I know the success rate for rehab was something like 12%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is just like, bro. Like,
yeah, it is pretty low. I mean, there's a lot of people who, like, don't really want to be there.
No, they're just... a lot of people there are like, either too young for it.
Yeah.
Or too young for, like, not for it necessarily, but, like, for the... to accept it within their own lives.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way I was when I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the way I was. I was, you know, a little shithead. Just fucking... yeah.
Right.
Yeah, just fucking... didn't want to be there, dude.
That's a... yeah. Tale old as time, man.
Tale as old as time. Yeah. Well, it's tale as old as rehab, at least.
I only went to rehab once. Actually, I went to a detox before, but I kind of went on my own volition at that point.
Sure. To the detox?
What's up?
To the detox?
Well, both times. Yeah. But when I went to rehab, I was like, you know, I was ready. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, I just don't want to fucking deal.
Did you quit after that, or did you relapse at all after that? Or
I had one night of drinking 11 months after that. I don't really consider that a relapse.
Lapse is what we call
it. Yeah, it's just lapse. A lapse. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't a full-blown relapse. It was like, it was weird. I was going through a lot of shit at the time. I just had shoulder surgery. I lost my job, and then my girlfriend at the time had broken up with me.
That sounds a lot like my fucking recent.
Yeah. It was like all in the span of a week.
God damn it. Don't. I need to have another shoulder surgery, but I'm not going to do that. Not yet. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So, one night of drinking after a fucking rough fucking... three things, dude. That's enough to knock anybody down.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. All in one week, man.
Yeah, dude. That's...
that shit always happens in early
three things,
recovery,
dude.
Too. Oh, you know?
It's always three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, pretty much. And, yeah, that was it, man. After that, I was like, I've accidentally taken a drink a couple times. Someone gave me an apple cider once that had booze in it. I literally asked this chick, I was like, does this have drugs in it or anything?
Yeah.
And she's like, no. You know,
because the alcoholics never think that you mean alcohol.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're there, like, alcohol's not a drug. It's like it's the worst one. It's like, yeah. It's literally like,
and
more,
And I wasn't at a party or anything. I was like literally at work, so I didn't think someone was like,
oh sure,
handing me alcoholic, cider. But
yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I called my buddy right away and just kind of aired it out, and I was fine, man.
But, well, yeah, that's what you got to do at that point. It's like, yo, I fucking just got to tell someone this. Like,
yeah.
I took a drink by accident. Didn't mean to,
yeah,
but I did.
Yeah, and it wasn't enough to, like,
no,
get me drunk or,
no,
you know. It was enough to be like, oh, shit, but, you know.
Yeah. I still enjoy a good NA beer. I had an NA beer yesterday for lunch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I had with lunch, but went over to Cochino over here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Dude, that place is good.
Yeah.
That place is good as fuck. They got a nice little, like, they have a football deal where it's like 12, you can get fucking 3 sliders, I think it's 6 wings or like a couple, like 6 taquitos for fucking $12.
Oh, no way.
Got the beer with it, $6, or $20, fucking lunch, whatever.
Nice.
It's like that's better than nice little Sunday lunch when I wasn't doing anything. It's like, cool. But yeah.
Yeah, man.
I enjoy a good NA beer. Because I loved beer so much.
Same. Yeah.
That, like, it was really the hardest part of quitting alcohol was like, dude, I want having pizza, I'm having wings, whatever it is. Like, I want a fucking beer with this.
Yeah.
Like, I need a brew.
Yeah.
But it's like, so it's nice. I like that they do, more companies are doing an NA version now. The Corona NA tastes just like a Corona. You can kind of taste that there's no alcohol in it. There's no, like, ting of the alcohol.
Right.
But, like, you know, it's like, realistically speaking, it's like, it's the same fucking beverage.
Yeah, yeah.
It tastes fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like most breweries have an A beer.
Nowadays, it wasn't that way.
If I go out with, like, some friends that do drink, then I'll get an NA beer.
Yeah, that's usually what I do, too, if I do go out with people like that. Which has been a while since I've done that. Like, truly gone out with people that drink a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, it's been a while since then.
Same.
Yeah, which is for the best, because, like, it gets fucking tiresome to be around people like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not anything against them. Especially not when they're sober.
Yeah.
But, like, because they're good. Always, everyone's a good person when they're sober.
Yeah.
But, like, some people, even if they're not, like, mean or bad people when they're drinking, they're just annoying.
Yeah, definitely.
They get louder because they fucking can't hear themselves.
Yep.
That used to be my problem. I realized that with comedy. When I quit drinking, that was kind of when I quit doing comedy. And I'll still go back every now and then and do it when I write some stuff. But, like, realistically speaking, I haven't been focusing on that at all. And but I noticed when I quit drinking that I was like, oh, that's why it sounded fucking so loud. Cause I couldn't hear anything. Cause my ears got, I don't know what happens to your ears when you start drinking, but I like could not hear anything. I couldn't hear myself. I was just like, dude, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. Okay.
Yeah. And your
adrenaline pumping too.
Adrenaline and your judgment is off. You're just like slurring your words.
You're already saying provocative shit. So you're just like, you're kind of, you don't really want to say it to begin with. Cause you're like, this people are not going to like this. Like, you know, like,
yeah, but yeah, you got to keep those people at an arm's distance. It's like one thing, like
nowadays it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But like when I've go and do stuff, I feel like I can talk about whatever, but it's like, sometimes I've said some stuff on stage that was like, I probably should have said that.
Dude, I've said tons of shit just like at parties or something. Like, the fuck did I say that, dude? Or why did I do that? You know,
I've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Embarrassing moments are always a good time for other people.
Yeah.
Never for the person it's involved with. So, question here. What are you working on right now that excites you the most? I guess we'll go aside from the album.
Aside from the album?
Yeah.
Shoot, man. That's kind of been my world recently, is getting this
well, album. Okay, I guess we'll ask this then. We'll ask it this way.
All right.
Do you guys have an ETA on the album? Or?
The new year
cool.
is our goal.
Cool. Yeah. That's us with Night Cook, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
I think it's doable. It's not a hard date, but like either New Year or like soon after it.
Sweet.
We're getting close to being done with this 6-song EP.
Right.
That should be like another month or so.
Okay.
It's like pretty much done recorded, but everything has to get mixed and mastered, and we're just sending it off to a professional this time because... Yeah. Yeah, man, we've been working on this shit for a while.
Might as well do it like that, dude.
Yeah.
If you're putting that much work into it, we should put some fucking beauty onto it too.
Yeah.
And those people that do that are fucking, they're,
yeah,
that shit's so hard, dude.
Oh yeah, man,
that shit's so hard.
Incredibly complicated shit, you know, like
I can do it very minimally. Yeah. Like, because I went to college for video production. So it's like, I have like a very minor basis in audio production. And then a little bit from this, like this taught me more audio production than college.
I'm sure.
Cause like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. My fucking, I'll tell that story later. That's a crazy story. But yeah, that's so. I'll try to ask this question in a different way. This same one is that. So you're working on the EP, and then that'll come out, and then the album after that, or is it? How is that work?
Yeah, EP first. Yeah. Album after. But I think we're gonna waterfall everything. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I'm not familiar with that term.
Waterfalling is just when you release your album like one song at a time, basically.
Oh, interesting.
So instead of releasing it all at once, you know?
Okay. That's cool.
And there's a couple reasons to do that. It's like, one, it's like better for like the Spotify algorithm.
Yeah, probably, huh?
Yeah. And two, it just kind of like gives you time to just kind of like build it up and like promote it and everything, you know what
that
I mean?
That actually does make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I guess if you're going, if you guys have like however many people that are going to listen to the album to begin with, and then like the song that people have come to the most is going to get selected to go on like the playlists in the algorithm. And it's like, that's probably how that works, I'd imagine.
Right.
But if you do it just like, yeah, this week we're releasing this song, the next week this song, and then it's like that song has its time to get its listens, and then, oh, it pops on a playlist.
Yeah.
And this song has time to get its listens, and it pops on a playlist, and it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. That's cool.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you're releasing it all at once, like, you know, a lot of people are just going to listen to it at that period, you know?
Yeah.
And then they might not come back to your Spotify page for a while.
Right.
But if you do it one at a time, they're going to continuously be looking forward to hearing the next song or whatever, you know.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That's going to work in your favor. But we are going to, like, have the album and the EP, like, available to, like, people who are, like, on our email lists and stuff.
Oh, cool.
Like, beforehand.
Nice.
You know, so.
Nice.
Yeah, subatomichero.com if you do want to get on it.
Yeah.
Like I said, we'll
link that in here in the description.
We don't have, like, a lot of music to listen to now, so.
Get in line, though. Get in line. There's going to be a lot soon, yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I got a couple more questions for you here. What's something you know now that you wish you knew as a kid?
Shoot, man. That's a hard question, Andrew.
It is a tough one, huh? It's a tough one, huh?
A lot of shit.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, a lot of shit.
I guess if I had to answer that one, I think it'd be it does get better. Things do get better.
Yeah.
Like you just have to like get on the right path. You have to make the next right decision, right? Is what they say in the rooms, right? So you have to make the next right decision.
Yeah.
And like things will start to get better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think I know this now that like, you know, the hard work, it pays off usually, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you're younger, it's kind of like hard to see that sometimes, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I saw this like reel or something the other day. And it was, I really like what this guy had to say. He had to have been in his 60s or something. He said, don't make other people or other things your emotional home.
Oh, that's really good advice.
Yeah.
Don't make other people or other things your emotional home.
Yeah.
That's really good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's whoever that guy is, that guy's smart as fuck.
Or at
the very least, wise.
Yeah, yeah.
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 That's fucking spot on.
Yeah, yeah.
I could have used that advice 2 weeks ago.
Right.
You know? Fuck.
Well, it's hard, too, when, you know, like, you have a really good relationship or friendship with someone, you know what I mean? And the rug gets pulled underneath you and, like...
Stab in the back sometimes and stuff. Yeah, like that. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, I get it.
Sometimes you don't see that shit coming, you know what I mean? But...
No. No, you don't. And sometimes it hurts that way.
Yeah.
What does the word freedom mean to you?
Freedom. I like this word a lot because I try to live my life in the freest way possible. I'm self-employed in like every way practically. And that affords me a lot of freedoms.
Yeah.
But I'm also like a slave to myself.
Yep. You know what that means. Yeah, I know how that feels.
Instead of someone else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which can be difficult, but it's also like nice knowing that I can make my own schedule and really pursue the things that I want in life. You know what I mean? Like, I've just never really wanted to be like a 9-to-5 person.
Oh my God. No, never.
Yeah.
I did that for such a short period of time and wanted to blow my fucking head off, dude.
Same, man.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, I've worked, you know, day jobs doing like all kinds of different stuff, construction, landscaping.
Yeah, but all those are so much different. Those particular types of jobs are different than like the 9-to-5 sitting in an office. There's something soul-sucking about that. There's something about the fucking bright lights that are like the fucking strip lights and the fucking shitty ceiling, and it's just like,
yeah,
it's something about fucking,
oh like, yeah, man,
like, dude, this one makes me want to kill myself. Yeah. Like every time I go into one of those buildings, dude,
that's extra soul-sucking for sure. But I haven't experienced it ever either.
Sure. Yeah.
But I don't want to.
No. It's the worst, dude. It's just the worst. So I guess freedom means to you the ability to kind of walk your own path.
Walk your own path, yeah. Follow your passions and the things that make you light up in this world, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, that doesn't mean, like, 100% absolute freedom, and because I think that can be bad too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For one, let's take recovery for an instance, you know, like I have to have that discipline in my life in order to like live a happy, fulfilling life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I have to be able to pull the reins back and set that as like a rule for myself, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But also, I don't think we should necessarily be like, you know, an alcohol-free society either.
At least
you know?
Not forced.
Yeah.
At the very least, I'm as libertarian as it comes. And it's like, dude, everybody should be able to do whatever the fuck they want to do.
Yeah.
For their own lives, so long as they don't impede somebody else's ability to do the same.
100%. Yeah.
Like, that's my base philosophy.
Yeah.
Of what freedom means to me is that, like, dude, I don't give a fuck what you do with your life.
Yeah.
Just don't fucking come get into mine when I'm telling you not to.
Mm-hmm.
That's my basic of it.
And as long as you're not harming others.
I think that would be impeding
their
ability to do the same.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
5 years, man? I don't know. I've been contemplating getting out of Colorado in the next like year. Mm-hmm. Or so, but I have like basically no idea where I'd fucking go.
We'll talk about that in a little bit because I have some thoughts on that.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's that. I don't blame you.
Yeah,
I don't blame you. It's rough here, dude. It's just fucking crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things I love about Colorado, and it's like the place where I grew up. Obviously, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Have you ever lived anywhere else?
Never lived outside of Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, the whole country, dude, is so fucking cool, man. There's so many fucking cool places in this country.
Yeah. I'm hoping, you know, in the next year or so, like, me and the band, like, we can just go on the road, man, and just see more of the country and just, like, because me and the bandmates have even been talking about, like, dude, what if we just go fucking buy, like, some land in, like, Wyoming or, like, Tennessee or something and just, like, start a fucking awesome homestead in the, you know, in the middle of nowhere. And we have, like, a fucking giant recording studio. We can play music till the fucking sun rises, you know what
I mean?
That
sounds fucking
great.
Yeah. Sounds fucking lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool as fuck. So hopefully at one of those places in 5 years.
Yeah, hopefully in 5 years, you know.
Yeah.
I'd like to get married one day. Have kids one day, maybe. I don't know if that's going to happen in the next 5 years, but that's a goal of mine. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to have a goal as.
Yeah.
And I'll ask you this last question here. I asked this one. This is the one question I asked to everybody. The rest of them are kind of just as it goes. But aside from people or animals, if your house is on fire and you can only grab one thing, what are you grabbing?
Damn. It'd probably be my drum set.
Drum set?
Yeah. That's my baby.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I only asked Zay this question, and he said his gun. Like, that's not what I was talking about. Like, I get it, but
that makes sense in a way. Yeah,
that makes sense in a way. Like,
you'd want to be able to protect yourself. Yeah, if your house is going down. But
I
feel
like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean, though. It's like, maybe to him it's sentimental.
Maybe it is sentimental. I didn't ask that question. Now I think about it. At least I don't remember if that was the answer.
But
I have like a piece of art that I like that I would grab that someone did for me.
Yeah.
And Andrew Carrillo, shout out Carrillo. I don't remember how to pronounce it, if it's Carrillo or Carrillo. But Andrew, shout out. What's up, dude? He painted me a sick painting that I'll show you out there.
Okay, cool.
It's a painting of me that says I'm holding off a surfboard that says "Too Fast for Satan."
Oh yeah, you did show me that.
Pretty sick.
Yeah, it's that is tight.
On the top of my fridge.
Yeah,
that would be the one thing I would grab, aside from obviously people or animals. But like, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That'd be the first thing, probably the only thing if I needed it to be. If I had some other time, maybe I'd grab some other stuff. I got some like first editions of books in here that I'd like to have, but
yeah,
the fucking those James Bond books over there.
Oh, nice.
Those are first edition paperbacks of those.
Oh, no way.
Of those particular books. The other, I have all those 14 of the books, but those are the ones that are not first editions.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I fucking bought them on on eBay or something, and then like recently looked through them and I was like, oh, these are fucking first editions.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, so that's pretty cool.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. But we'll get out of here. Go ahead and throw your Instagrams and shit on your socials on for people. And
like I said, subatomichero.com. I have a personal website. It's just quinwarren.me, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a landing page, and that will lead to a lot of different stuff. Or Instagram is like drumboyq.
Cool.
Subatomichero. And I just started a new Instagram page for like all my art stuff, and that's Quinn's Art Box.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool, man. We'll plug you on. We'll do that on the link in bio type shit of our description. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man.
If for everybody else out there listening, if you made it this far, thank you. You could also please reach out to us if for a couple of different things. Number one, if you have any questions, comments, concerns. If you would like to come on the podcast, because we are now a interview-based podcast, we're having guests on. We're trying to make it mainly artists, but it's really just, you know, I'll talk to anybody. I'll talk to anybody, especially if you're someone that's gone through some addiction and some real life stuff. We'd love to have you on. So you can reach out to us at malfunctionjunctionpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at malfunctionjunctionpodcast. Either of those two places, you can message me and come and talk about the show with me. Also, follow our parent company, Crucible Media_ is that on Instagram. That is the parent company of our podcast production. You can get updates on our short film Night Cook that we're working on, which I'll also be doing in the coming weeks at some point, an interview with Travis, the author and co-host of Pumpkin Hill Radio. And talking about Night Cook, I think that's it. I think we're still trying to do the newsletter at some point, and maybe in a magazine and fucking some other shit. Well, who knows? We're going to try to do some shit.
Hell yeah.
But, thank you for listening. And, Quinn, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Everybody have a great rest of your day.
Later.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.